Okay, we should get started. We want to welcome everyone to the meeting. Appreciate your attendance. First order of business is roll call.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
And Commissioner Crompton?
Here.
Supervisor Couch is not here.
Not here, no. Thank you. Let's do the approval summary proceedings for November.
I'll make a motion to approve. I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no? Thank you. Next item, we have a new commissioner, and I'd like to introduce our newest commissioner, and Christina Crompton. And she's Letitia Perez's appointment. And you might grab your microphone. I asked her to say a few words, maybe a little bit about her. I got to meet her last month, and she's got a lot of ideas and a lot of energy. So I'll.
Really do.
Yeah.
My name is Christine Crompton, and I'm from District 5, obviously East of Sales and Bakersfield. I have a nonprofit organization called Grandfathers and Fathers Against Drunk Driving Assistance Killing. I actually have a farm myself. I have chickens, fancy feather chickens, like pigeons. And then I also have some flipping pigeons, like you caught like this, and they flip in the air. I have like rabbits and pigeons with jerry curls. And I also have like rabbits and dogs. I have a couple dogs. I have a husky myself, like at my home and stuff. And I'm really excited to meet all of you and hear all you guys' ideas. And I'm 31. But don't kill my vibe because I got this black that don't crack. I'm excited for everything that's coming forth. I'm really engaged with everything in the community. I volunteer about 150 hours a month to people in the services with doing food drives, prizes, recovery services, and actually helping people with my own funding out of my own pocket a month. So I'm excited to meet you all.
And she's got some good ideas going forward.
Oh yeah, and then one really good idea that I have, right, is doing a spay and neuter for the east side of Bakersfield, the southeast Bakersfield. But I want to have one like once a month, actually, to spay and neuter like all animals that are actually strays, and maybe get them adopted out somehow. I don't know. But these dogs on the east side, they know how to cross the street. Like look both ways, like, and then they attack your kids when they walk home from school. And I just want to like help with that, like with transitioning it so they'll be safer for the children in the communities and some adults. Because sometimes you can't ride bikes down the street and have to have them chase it because folks like to chase stuff their roads, you know? And like just be open-minded with everything, with like funding and everything moving forward because of like all animals have souls just like people do.
I love you.
I do.
I told you she has some good ideas. She's got a lot of energy. So maybe after the meeting, you guys can come introduce yourself to her and make her feel welcome. So, anyway,
thank you.
Welcome to the group.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, we got a little bit different sequence here. So, okay, consent agenda. We've got like five different items here. Emails from Annabelle Hoyler. Nick, have those have all been taken care of or resolved? Or what's the status on the course?
Can you send us an email with some info?
I don't think I've seen any of these.
Yes,
I think they all been asked and answered.
I was going to say they all have details on.
Okay.
To answer your question, Commissioner Blackburn, yes, all of those emails were responded to.
Yeah, okay, we're good. Well, we want to take a look at it before we receive the final, so I think we'll just set it off to the side, maybe. Might be the thing to do. Okay, real good. Public presentations.
The email that came had
I didn't see it.
Oh, you
did. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all asking us.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you grab your mic and you want to talk about it? Talk about any of them?
No, I think they're all handled.
They're all handled. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Unless anybody out there wants to, I don't remember verbatim. I don't have the email.
Okay.
But I just know I read all of them. and they were all handled.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's a different story.
For November and for January and for February, they were all handled, and I'm actually looking at February, and they were handled as well.
Okay, then I need a motion to receive and file then, in that case.
I make a motion to receive and file.
Okay, all in favor?
Oh.
Opposed? No?
We need a second.
Oh, sorry, second.
No, I can't second. I can, but I'm practicing.
It won't work well.
Okay, motion carried. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Also, if you would please turn off any electronic devices, cell phones, put them on vibrator, just turn them off. And if you need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. Okay, so anyway, on public presentations, first table, actually the second table. Anything from anyone? Okay, Danny, nothing? Okay. Next table. Anybody that wants to have any public presentations in the room at all? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Okay, back to the head table. That's the first for me, actually.
I know.
In 9 years, so. Okay, staff announcements or reports. Director Cullen, please.
Good evening. Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. I'm going to touch on some highlights in the January's director report. I did include a couple of copies of the last director report because we were dark in December and we had no lack of quorum.
Your mic's not on, Dick.
I'm sorry?
Your mic's not on.
Can I just yell?
Yes!
Okay.
Better? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. If anybody has any questions about the November and December report, I'm happy to answer them. They've been posted on the site for quite some time as well. But I'll roll right into the January highlights. We are seeing a slightly less animals that are coming into the shelter this January as opposed to the prior January. The adoption of 179 adult dogs, 94 puppies, 20 cats, and 50 kittens in January of 2023 for a total of 343 animals total adopted. Some of you may remember that Critters Without Litters had won a grant to do some local TNR surgeries. So for quite some time there last year, we didn't have any or very many statistics in the TNR category, but their grant has exhausted, so those TNR surgeries are going through us again. So January, so 282 feral cats fixed for a total of over 16,000, just shy of 17,000 cats since 2013. We did not have any public vaccination clinics in January. We're just starting them back up in February, but we did have some spay-neuter clinics in January that affected some vaccinations. So 115 rabies vaccinations, 39 parvo distempers. Those were all from spay-neuter clinics where we offer the vaccinations at no cost. Spay-neuter, we had a clinic January 9th, another one January 12th, another one January 20th, and then back-to-back clinics on January 30th and the 31st. If it says Bakersfield, that is a clinic that we've had at the Fruitvale Animal Shelter. And then the East Bakersfield Clinic, we're out in East Bakersfield. And then we had scheduled the Lake Isabella Clinic, and we had to cancel it because a boulder fell through the street, Highway 178, and the
SNP bus didn't have any way of getting up there. So we're going to reschedule that one probably for April. Year to date doesn't really make any sense to touch on because it's only been 1 month. So the year to date is going to be the same as the month of January so far. 179 dogs adopted, 94 puppies, 20 cats, 50 kittens. Rescue numbers are a little bit down, 154 dogs, 94 puppies, 7 cats, and 4 kittens left for rescue. Wanted to touch on, again, our Streets of Bakersfield program. So we had this experience. So Streets of Bakersfield is just the name of a foster program that we have. And for those of you who don't know what foster is, there's a number of ways that an animal can leave the animal shelter. They can be redeemed by their owner. They can be adopted by a new owner. You know, they can be sent to a nonprofit, a rescue organization. But foster is one of those options for us where it's a temporary home for the animal. And we've even narrowed it down to more temporary so that the Streets of Bakersfield is a 3 to 5 hour foster program where people can come down, tell us what type of dog they're able to handle, and then we get an application, and then we choose an animal that we've already selected, a group of animals, but we give them an animal that could really benefit from leaving the shelter. And what we've seen is just it's gotten a really good response from the community. We've been doing it every other Saturday since November, or since December, and somewhere between 38 and 45 dogs are leaving at any given time. But the thing that we saw that was a huge benefit is, like, I don't know about you all, but I have a Nextdoor app in my neighborhood, and I try to not say who I am in my Nextdoor app so people don't throw a brick through my window. But looking at it, like, there was so many posts of people that had taken a dog from the county animal shelter, and they were posting, come adopt this animal, you know, and they were promoting the animal on their own social media feeds beyond us, you know. That's not us promoting. These were 40 different people that are taking their dogs to Starbucks to get puppuccinos, and taking our dogs to the Riverwalk Park, and you know, really promoting those animals. And there was like this compounding effect of social media, and almost all of those animals that are participating in the Streets of Bakersfield program are getting adopted too. And the folks that participate, that take a dog, they come between 10 a.m. and 12 a.m. or 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Fill out an application, take a dog, and then have to come back by 3:30 p.m. And then we have to fill out a report card. And the report card basically tells, in their own words, what those fosters did with the dogs. And it's pretty interesting to see what some of the people do with the dogs. But it's nice to see those animals getting out into the community and then being promoted in the community too. So I just wanted to highlight that Streets of Bakersfield program, which, by the way, we'll be doing it again this Saturday, for anyone that's interested. Out in the community, there's a few slides here about out in the community. We had realized, we've known this for a while, but we were trying to think of ways to promote animals that just don't show well in a shelter. You know, if you've been in a shelter before, you'll see some dogs that just they shut down, or they're highly stressed out, so they're vocalizing a lot, they're barking a lot, maybe they look aggressive, but they're really not. They just need to get out of the kennel. They just don't show well in a shelter. And so we always thought, well, there's these animals that just have very little chance because they just don't show well. We can remove them from the shelter environment, take them out into the community in a different environment, and we felt like their odds of being adopted would increase. So we brought on 2 part-time employees, and those part-time employees are responsible for every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're out in our community taking adoptable dogs that we've selected to try to find them homes. And it's been super successful. We've been to multiple Petco locations, a local car dealer, PetSmart, this building. We're here at this building once a month at least. We've been to Tractor Supply. We've been out to Arvin. We drove out to Rosamond. And it's just been successful. We placed 32 dogs through adoption just in the month of January through bringing them out to off-site adoption events. And we're going to try to continue to do that. There's some grant funding that we received that we're using for that program. And we're going to start trying to transition. I mean, we've had so many puppies in the shelter recently that became the need, is to bring puppies out, because there were so many of them. At one point, we had like 120 dogs under the age of 5 months. So we originally intended this for large breed dogs that just didn't show well, and then we had to shift it to puppies because we had so many of them. So it's been successful, but we're going to transition to hopefully large breed dogs at these adoption events because those are the animals that are at most risk of not making it out alive. So that if you see us out in the community, there's a focused effort to engage the public to adopt pets in a different environment entirely. Field services, I'll just point out that since October, we have really laser-focused our officers to returning pets to their owners instead of impounding pets, and the statistics are starting to show results. Just in January, they returned 63 dogs back to their rightful owners, and then 221 dogs were secured back on property. Those numbers are about twice what they usually are. There's some incentive base there. There's a contest that we put out to the officers, and they're getting competitive with each other. So it's just another way of trying to prevent animals from coming into the facility. Our commercial animal facilities, I'm trying to think of different ways to present the commercial animal facility efforts, just so that it's making sense. What you see in front of you here is I added at the bottom, it tells you now how many active commercial animal facility permits. There was 47. We did 52 inspections on breeders, 3 rescue inspections, 5 kennel facilities, and then 7 boarding facilities. That was just in January. We issued 3 new permits, failed 3 permits, and then issued 21 citations through the permitting program. And then I'll skip down to the volunteer program. We've seen a little bit of a scale back in the amount of hours we're getting from the volunteer program. It's still respectable, 480 and a half hours of service that were donated in January. We received 82 new volunteers, and at the time that I printed this, we had 95 active volunteers. The last thing I wanted to touch on is there's another sheet up there for spay neuter. I just wanted to point out that as of January 31st, so we're appropriated $400,000 to administer a low-income, low-cost spay-neuter program, and we've expended $231,580 of that, which is about 58% of the funds already spent. We do project to exceed the money that's been allotted. We'll see how much it'll exceed that. But we have 6 public spay-neuter clinics scheduled every month from now until the end of June, and they cost us $7,000 per clinic. So spay-neuter is, we're not getting too many people that aren't showing up. I mean, we're going to be holding a massive spay-neuter event on World Spay Day, which is Tuesday, February 28th. World Spay Day is just what it sounds like. It's just promotion nationwide for people to spay and neuter their pets. And so historically, we have tried to get people on site to bring their pets for us to fix a minimum of 100 animals. And I think we've got about 120 surgeries scheduled for February 28th. I don't know where I was going with that, but the intent is to try and affect the spay and neuter of over 100 animals. At the time that we opened up appointments on Friday at 8 a.m. By 5 p.m., all 100 appointments were booked. I think they're trying to actually find some slots now for some cats and maybe some medium-sized dogs and people that canceled and didn't pay, but it was booked pretty quickly. So spay neuter is where it's at. You're going to continue to see us hitting pretty hard over the next 3 months. And that concludes the director's report. I can answer any questions.
Thank you. We'll start with Commissioner Christopher. Any questions?
The calls to the CAF, are those because somebody has called in to complain, or is that just a routine check?
There's not too many complaints coming through the CAF email. We created an email address just for CAF complaints with people that see breeding happening in the community. A lot of the calls that she's running are self-generated. I won't get into how she's generating those calls, but there's a lot of social media that's coming through. And then she's following up on those calls to start the process for permitting.
So these are like surprise checks?
No, some of them are former permits that need to be renewed.
Okay.
Some of them are people that are coming forth asking us, how do I get permitted, requesting for permit. And we should be going live in the next 60 days or so with an application for a permit that's fillable on the website, so that instead, because right now we're just handing out applications old school.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we get that implemented, it should be in the next 60 days or so, people will be able to be directed to the website, fill out a CAF application, and then it'll just get electronically submitted to Fieldstaff.
Okay, thank you.
I just had a question about the low-cost spay and neuter clinics, if you guys are planning on doing any over by Ridgecrest at all.
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't believe we have any scheduled right now, but it's not because we're not going to. It's because we're only allowed to schedule with them 60 days.
Gotcha.
At most.
Oh, okay.
So we only know what we're doing usually next month. And usually Angela will sit down with me and we'll start figuring out where we want to be. We've really tried to hit the areas that we know need it the most. Not saying that Ridgecrest doesn't need it the most.
No, but
East Bakersfield, Oildale, yeah. And there is a huge desert in veterinary resources from Tehachapi all the way out to Boron.
Yeah.
There is no veterinary. And so, you know, we've tried to be as active as we can. We've done 3 spay-neuter clinics in East Kern just since November.
Do you guys do, okay, so for the vouchers, does Cal City do that?
Cal City is an incorporated city.
Okay.
I don't know if they have a spay-neuter program. I don't believe they do. We have done a couple of Cal City spay-neuter clinics, and that was at the direction of Supervisor Scribner.
Oh, okay.
So I think we've done 2 since.
Yeah, because I know Cal City has a vet out there with some really good ones.
Yeah, I can't speak to the vet that's out there, but we've had SNP bus out there twice now since June.
Okay.
Mr. Garrett.
So the CAF, is it still just one officer working all this?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit of good news. So for those of you who don't know, there is an existing ordinance. I don't remember the exact ordinance code. It's like 7.08.110 or 120. And it's subsection U. And what subsection U says is, regardless of how many female dogs you have on property in the county of Kern, you cannot produce more than one litter. It's a criminal crime if you do. And so we issued a citation for violation of U, and many times that's been kicked out of court for a number of different reasons. Well, this one didn't get kicked out. There was a $2,000 fine that the person received because we were able to show evidence of breeding voices on litter. So, we're doing the best that we can to not only enforce the laws that are on the books, but to at least guide people to be in compliance. You know, so if somebody has an intent to be a groomer, a boarder, a breeder, a trainer, that they're following the right steps to do that.
That's a step in the right direction to have it actually filed with all the work that you guys do.
Well, there was a fine that was levied.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other question on the field services, when they return a dog to the property, do they leave like a written warning, a notice or something?
Yeah, most often if they're securing a dog on property, it's because they can't make contact with the pet owner. When it's returned to owner, they've actually made contact with the pet owner to hear your dog. Yeah, most of the time they'll issue a notice that says, you know, he's on time again, or I made some repairs to your fence, or make contact, or some sort of notice to let them know that we're there.
What's your problem?
Yeah, I wanted to know, like, how would you go by with, like, teaching people how to be trained to be a breeder? Is there, like, classes that they can take, or, like, is there services or anything that they can give?
To be a breeder?
Yeah.
I don't know of any, but it doesn't seem like many people need to be taught how to. It's
seems to be happening.
Well, like, you know, they have regulations. You know, like the regulation, like how to go by, like get a permit, like, you know? Because it's a lot of people that actually wants to be dog breeders, wants to take care of dogs, and actually don't know how many dogs you can have, what's the laws like. I didn't even know what a dog really meant. I thought it was just like the Coke and manual until I started reading this stuff. So, like, it's things that, like a class to be taught, like, how can we be better as people to come together instead of, like, issuing, like, all these citations and stuff like that? Like, how can we help people in the community that's actually illegally dog breeding and illegally cat breeding and illegally horse breeding and illegally chicken breeding and stuff? Like, how can we go by, like, giving them the help that they need?
You just classified it. There's no illegal chicken breeding that I know of.
I don't know, because like, there is some stuff going on.
But I understand what you're saying. We don't, listen, what we don't want to happen is we don't want people producing dogs and them ending up at the shelter. There are 11,000 animals that come to the Kern County Animal Shelter every year. About 7,000 of those animals are dogs. And we want to try to stop those animals from coming to the shelter. And so the answer to that is spay and neuter. If there's people that are intentionally producing dogs, I would always make sure that they know, just because you think you're responsible doesn't necessarily mean your offspring of those dogs are not ending up at the shelter. They could. And that's why we try to, what we've been finding as we enforce the permitting more often, is that people didn't know that they needed to be permitted to do it and are willing to be permitted to do it. Not everybody, trust me. But most people said, I didn't know that I needed that. And so that's part of this process, is to help people to come into compliance, not only because they didn't know it was illegal, but because we want to make sure that they're, what if they are producing, it's not just breeding, it's boarding, and it's training. And but we want to make sure that if they're engaging in those businesses, that those animals are being cared for properly, and that they're following license laws, and that they're behaving ethically. And the only way to do that is to have oversight.
Right.
And so that's what, yeah, no, you're right. There needs to be a lot of education about how to come into compliance, how to do that. I'm open to ideas and suggestions.
So with that said, when the officer makes contact with 30 breeders, is there an education process that happens first before you get a citation, a warning? This is what you need to do within a certain amount of time, so they're educated and can possibly meet that requirement?
So the way that we've approached it, and keep in mind, just the statistics are on there, aren't everything. I mean, she's running a lot of calls that are right. Not on there because they didn't result in a pass and fail or
yeah, I know.
They're sometimes she's done it in contact, or she's verifying compliance and they're following up. But rarely, if ever, are we there to punish right away. Like, no, we want to, and a lot of it depends why we're there and what prompted us to be there. If you're engaging in some social media and you're being a little shady about that, you know, she might approach it a little bit differently. But you know, most often we're approaching it as you're producing animals, you're boarding animals, you're training animals, you need a permit to do that. Let me try to help you walk through that process.
Okay.
And then if we get to the point where there's some non-compliance or the process isn't moving along like we think it should be, then there's some enforcement that's going to come in.
Got it.
I said a couple of things. I was pleased to see the save rate compared to last year at 4%. And I noticed that the rescue stepped up this month, 248 versus 105 last year. Did we get some new rescue groups in January?
No. So I will caution, you know, to, don't get me wrong, we've seen those statistics and we're, you know, cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen when there's a breeding season in Bakersfield, you know, and more animals start coming in during the warm months, so we're in the cold months right now, so there's always gonna be this depression of pets coming into the shelter in these cold months. And that's when we start to see some more success finding animals homes, is when there's less of them. So we look at that and we're like, okay, that's good. We're doing better than we did last year. But we're always like, well, what's going to happen next month or the month after? You know, we're just waiting for another shoe to drop. But no, we haven't gotten new rescues. What we're seeing is that we have some folks in the community who are working with us. Some nonprofits. I could think of one in particular right now. It's a husband and wife who have stepped up and purchased an RV, and they're helping us create relationships in Montana and Northern California and in Washington. And she is taking photographs of dogs. That's how this started. She just wanted to help. And you know, she for a while was footing the bill for gas to drive, you know, 2,700 miles to drop off 18 dogs. And she's creating that relationship with these rescue organizations, and she's just working with us. And there's more of that that's happening. I don't know why that is, but there are multiple organizations who are working with us. I know of one who is, you know, they're rescuing a lot of abandoned dogs, and they're coming across some severely injured abandoned dogs. And they're now working with us to bring those animals to us so that we can provide at least some immediate medical care and take some x-rays, diagnose if we can, keep it for a bit of time while they work to find placement for those animals. And so as we see more of those sort of community organizations and community-based people that are working with us, we're starting to see a little bit more of those animals leaving for rescue organizations.
Wow, that's really good. Some synergies are starting to develop, sounds like. Mm-hmm. Did you not tell me a few months ago that you weren't doing any owner surrenders at the shelter? Did I hear that right?
We're still doing owner surrenders. We won't, if somebody walks into the animal shelter with their own dog and says, I need to surrender my dog, no, the answer is no most of the time. But a lot of times there are animals that end up in the shelter. We get owner information after they end up at the shelter. We reach out to the pet owner. And at that point, we already have the animal. I can't, it'd be nice if I could just shove it in their car and wave goodbye. But that's where those owner surrendered pets are coming from. There are occasions that our officers are coming across calls where they just have determined that an animal is better off if it's surrendered at the shelter. And so at that point, the officer can arrange to accept the animal and surrender in the field or to require them to surrender the animal in the shelter. So as a general rule, no, we don't accept surrendered pets over the counter, as they call it.
That's what I thought. Okay. My last observation was you were talking about there's a competition with the officers. Returned owner 60 this month versus last year at 30, so they doubled. That's pretty good. Pretty good. That's all the questions I've got. So,
you have another one? Okay. When you were talking about the Montana one, was it our shelter that had 30 dogs picked up and shuffled off to Washington and then met somebody else? I know that one of my gals from my disaster group was involved in that with Marley.
Yes, that was us.
Okay.
I mean, we had some of our animals on that transfer. Yeah, and another benefit of these folks that are willing to work with us is that, like, for example, these folks came forward, they purchased this RV, and they're just wanting to help get animals out of the shelter to relieve some of the pressure on the shelter. And so we're trying to solve problems together. So they couldn't afford to continue to pay $1,100 in gas every time they drive up there. So we start working, I reached out to some contacts and some nonprofits and said, hey, I have a person who's really helping us. They're taking pets from the county animal shelter. Can we set them up for some fuel reimbursement? And we did, and now they're being reimbursed for the cost of their fuel so that they can continue to do that. And then that has spurred on more conversations with some nonprofits in LA to see if they can't come down and assist in some transports themselves, you know. And so that transport that you see, that was all a result of just somebody coming forward who had a fresh perspective and said, well, why don't I see what I can do? And she did, and now she's, you know, been responsible for saving, I don't know, 300 or 400 animals since she started about 6 months ago.
So,
and she's not the only one. I mean, there's a lot of people, some of them in this room who are doing their part to either help prevent animals from coming in the shelter or help them leave.
I love the good news.
Yeah, it's very
encouraging. It's not all good news.
I'm taking the good news.
That's really encouraging. I'm going to open it up to the audience if they have any questions to Director Coleman. First table. Second. Hi, Janice. Third table. Okay. Seeing none, we'll come back to the head table. I need a motion to accept this report.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Yeah, a second?
Go ahead.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
We'll get that.
Okay, pass, thank you. Moving on to item F, Commissioner announcements or reports. Sir, I'm writing in. Commissioner Christopher, please.
Hi. I've been working my tail off.
You need your microphones.
So Vicki Brasher from Critters Without Litters has opened up some huge doors for me in my trap neuter return efforts with my Ticks and Feral Felines group, and she has gifted me an appointment. Almost once a week, I'm allowed to bring up to 12. I never go over 12 like I did that one time. And it has just meant the world for me. I don't even have to get up at the crack of dawn. I'm allowed to show up about 8:15. With my 12 cats, and it has been amazing. I believe she's also doing the same for a group that's doing TNR in Lake Isabella, because it's just so hard for us to get there. Plus, if we had just, we're limited to 2 cats, you know, you can see it would take me 6 weeks to do 12 cats that I'm able to do in one day. So as of the 10 cats that are down there today that will be picked up tomorrow, we are up to 235 TNRs that we have done so far since April, and we have pulled 115 kittens out of those colonies, gotten them fixed, and into foster homes and or adopted. We only have about 15 in the system, so pretty much 100 kittens have been adopted through us in April. So we're making some big roads. We have a new volunteer that's offered to transport so that I don't have to go take the 12 cats, you know, to Critters on like today and then turn around and go back tomorrow morning to pick them all up. Fiona, who I think was with Debbie, she has offered, she also does transport for Marley's Mutt. She's one that took up to Montana and Canada. I think she's been working really hard. So she's one of my drivers now, which enables me to do more of my kitten coordination extraordinaire and work really hard to get all of these kittens into wonderful homes. And I'm also able to, people are contacting me because word is getting out, wanting friendly ferals or wanting working cats. And so I'm able to relocate some of the feral cats. I try not to do it as a rule because I don't want people saying, well, hey, you're moving cats around, but it's only on request of the feeders. You know, it's all with permission. So we're able to get some cats into better situations where they're not overrun if there's 30 or 40 in a colony. Pare it down a little bit and get them into respectable barn home situations and even sometimes some friendly homes where they're indoors. So I've been doing some really good. We've got a little bit of money in our bank account. I spent $1,000 on some brand new traps from Tomahawk. 2 drop down traps. One of them is as big as this table. I could probably trap a German Shepherd in it. But I'm just a cat. So. Cats that refuse to be trapped. Well, I figure the more space and the more food bowls, and if the whole colony comes in and they're eating underneath this drop trap, then the one cat that hasn't been fixed that I've been trying to get for 8 months, but so far I haven't got. It's that mama cat at Kmart. The rest of the colony is fixed, and this one cat is so smart, she literally laughs at me. So I don't know what I'm going to have to get in touch with the feeder, because she's pretty friendly with the feeders. So I've got to come up with some clever ways to outsmart these smart cats. I'll figure it out. Thank you.
Sounds like you're trying to get the pop.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I don't have a lot going on, but I have been, you know, definitely, we've been, you know, it's a time of year where we've been getting in a lot of puppies ever since, you know, Christmas and that. So I am out there pushing these people to get these dogs spayed and neutered. And I'll tell you, it's definitely, I think it's been going pretty well, actually. So it seems like there are a lot of new ones that are like, oh, yeah, I want to get them fixed. So we have a program that we do through our place that's a, it's like a wellness program. And it's kind of cool because people can come in and they can do like monthly payments, and it helps with the astronomical cost of spaying and neutering. So it helps them out in the sense that it gives them a bunch of benefits from it, and they can do the smaller payments because, you know, everybody's always coming in wanting to make payments because, let's face it, life's ridiculous at this point. So, you know, it's kind of cool. I've been helping encourage all that stuff. So,
thank you. I met with David Couch in December and brought him up to speed as to what we're trying to do on this ordinance, and let him know that we really need him, but he hasn't been able to make it even tonight's meeting. But we had to visit with him for an hour and brought him up to speed. And I also tried to trap a cat here last month, and I was told to use the smelliest sardine cat food that you can get and put it in the cage. And the next morning, there was something in the cage. It ended up being a kid fox.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, my God. I thought they were pretty docile. That thing was hissing at me. I thought, oh, my God. I wasn't sure if I could even get the trap opened up, but I did, and he scurried off. Finally got the cat. But, I mean, that was an experience I don't want to repeat anytime soon. Yeah, he was hissing at me. That, oh, my God. Of course, I don't blame him. But
some of you people know that I'm the area director for Kern County for Central California Animal Disaster Team. We have seven counties, so I cover the Kern County one. So we're going to be doing a team training to get more volunteers. I put the flyer. You got it. Okay. It'll be a fun training, and Nick uses us whenever he needs us, and we at times we've gone outside of our county to assist with fires, floods, and such. But it'd be great to, you know, spread the word around. And I think we have 20 signed up so far. We just did a training in Fresno, and there are 50. So we're getting the stumbling block with our group is you have to go through the hoops. You have to take NIMS training. You can do it online. You have to have a background check, because we're a very legit group, and people kind of get, they don't want to do all of it. But it really isn't that hard to do, and we're going to be there at the training to help everyone get through it. So we could really use more volunteers. Kern County's pretty small. We're tiny but mighty. So it's March 11th and 12th. And then UC Bakersfield is doing a disaster preparedness event on March 25th. We'll be there, I think. Animal Services will be there. And we've just been staying, I've been staying busy with all kinds of animal disaster stuff, preparing. Anyway, that's all I have.
That's just so amazing on what you guys are doing here. All the training that you guys are giving, I'm looking forward to volunteering and being part of it.
Good deal. Well, those are our announcements. So we're going to move on to old business. No staff referrals, I see. Update on the AKC Reunite fundraising efforts. Anything, Janice, that you'd like to mention?
Yes. Do I have to stand up there?
Probably for everybody's benefit so they can hear you.
Okay.
You know the routine, Janice.
I know. I just, I'm out of practice.
Don't act like a newbie.
She has good news.
Okay, so I'm Janice Anderson, for those that don't know. We've been working with the American Kennel Club on a disaster, a trailer, actually two. The good news is we have funded our first one. We're looking at delivery probably in 2 to 3 months. So once we have a date set, we will let you know, because we're going to have a big soiree, you know, when it gets delivered and everything. And then Bakersfield Obedience Training Club has been instrumental in the funding for it, as was the the National Labrador Retriever Club helped to fund a lot of it, along with a lot of private donations. So we got a, it took us a little longer than we anticipated, but we weren't expecting COVID. So I'm hoping that the second trailer, which we will, we're already working on, as soon as Bakersfield Obedience, they got a few in-house things they need to handle. Once they get that done, then they're going to be back on the bandwagon, going ahead and working on soliciting funds for it, for the second trailer. And we will continue to pound the pavement with our citizens within the community and organizations, and hopefully get this one funded a little more quickly.
Do you have locations yet that you're thinking about?
Nick had discussed the
Fraser Park
and Lake Izzy, right? Was one Lake Izzy, or
we have supplies in Lake Isabella.
Okay,
we're looking at the mountain communities.
Okay,
Lebec,
yeah.
Fraser Park.
Yeah, Fraser Park for sure. So, you know, we'll just figure out where the need is and make it happen when we get it. But they'll be delivered initially here to Animal Services on Fruitvale, because they have to go through all the legal mumbo jumbo, get it registered, all that kind of stuff. So then it'll be up to our wonderful director to send it where it needs to go.
So what kind of a soiree are you thinking about having?
Champagne over there.
I would love that, but we don't want to scratch it.
No.
So it would be nice. But no, we definitely want to get all the media involved so that we can, you know,
you
really let the community know what we've done and what we want to continue to do. And, you know, have some dignitaries, you know, get our supervisors and stuff involved, and the mayor and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'll be working with Director Cullen, too.
I've never seen one in person, so I'd like to be out there whenever.
Oh, definitely.
Whenever they have it.
No, we're ready.
I think it's a big deal, especially if we get the second one going.
Oh, for sure. So, you know.
Now that we're out of COVID, maybe you might be able to.
Life, yeah, right.
Hopefully that soiree will help.
Well, yeah.
Well, and that's my goal. Ultimately, that will help to really kind of catapult the second one, the fundraising on the second one. So. Yeah,
you know, because typically you don't think about that stuff until after a fire's already going, right?
Right.
Now we're staying ahead of the curve maybe a little bit.
That's my hope. So,
yeah,
you know, and I've talked to Megan at AKC, and they're thrilled that we were able to get number one done. And they were instrumental in the Labrador Retriever Club getting involved as well to help fund. You know, they wrote a nice big fat check.
Let's see all of them, you know.
Everybody's working together. We want this to work, you know, and work for us and work for the surrounding communities. So, you know, and they're really on board with it. They've done a tremendous job around the country getting these trailers out to various communities.
Yes. It took us like 3 years to get the first one, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe we can do it in 1 year.
I would like that. That would be great. So I can't wait for its delivery. I think it'll be here in the spring. And like I said, we'll get everybody.
I was wondering when you were going to actually take possession of it.
Yeah, they had, I think they had three that they were prepping before ours.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I talked to her, end of December, I think. And so, yeah, they were kind of shooting for spring.
Well, that's exciting. So that's really.
She'll give us a heads up, so you know, they'll let us know, and they'll be sending people out as well. When we do take delivery, they will be having their representatives here as well. So, you know, we'll make it big.
That's a good report.
Thank you.
So.
Oh, great job.
You know, I don't want you to see me unless I got something good to say.
Well, it's been a while.
She's been hiding out.
Yeah, you've been hiding out.
I've been teaching. I'm busy.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in 2 years. So.
Oh, well, now that's exaggerated.
Okay. Move on to item number 3, status on ordinance subcommittee revisions. So we kind of got derailed last month since we didn't have a forum we couldn't meet. As I mentioned in the November meeting, we've done a lot of work in getting this revision to this level. And the four of us spent, maybe 10 hours on Zoom taking this line by line, and it was exhausting, I have to tell you. And so I would like to, you know, basically has been presented to the commission on any changes they'd like to see made. That's what I was looking for tonight. There was one thing that I wanted to look at, but I'll go last. But if anyone else, the commissioners would like to.
I'll start.
Okay, what about you?
I think it was a discussion last time that there is a concern about, where are we under? We are under terms of unaltered dog license.
Can you give me the section?
It is 7.08.4 or 0.470. I'm dyslexia. There was big concern about under if how the unaltered dog license can be revoked, and on number two, it says that the department has received at least 3 complaints verified by the department, the owner, custodian, applicant, or licensee has allowed a dog to be stray or run at large, anyway, glasses, or has otherwise been found to be neglectful, of his or her or other animals. First question is, what consists of a complaint?
Yes.
Am I current, do I have the right copy? Because I have so many of these. you know that. I just wanted to know the complaints. So they're verified by the department. Does a complaint also mean that if somebody was issued a warning?
Yeah, so I mean, Commissioner Geary, you know, I can only answer what I believe the intent of the subcommittee was.
That's true. It was us.
I am not entirely responsible for the revisions that are in front of you, but I believe the intent was to hold those people who are likely responsible for unintentional litters to have to spay and neuter their pet if we've received a certain amount of complaints in a certain period of time. Now, the intent is to require corroborated or confirmed calls. So we get calls all the time that people's dogs are running loose. Right. And many times we get to the location and there's no corroboration. We couldn't confirm that the complaint right. was true, it's unfounded. But the intent here was to say that when the complaint is founded and that when the officer is witnessing an animal off property or has enough a preponderance of the evidence to determine that an animal has been roaming off property, that's when these violations would consist with be consistent with the 36-month.
And I'm trying to unfog my brain because it was 2 years ago that I was involved in this. Is there a timeline on that? On the number of complaints? Is it within a year?
It was 36 months.
36 months, okay.
So the way that the subcommittee wrote number B there is that if the department has received, I'm paraphrasing, if the department has received 3 complaints that a person's dog is running loose or that they're in violations of other codes and that those complaints have been corroborated, then that they could be denied the ability to purchase an unaltered dog license. I believe the question that came up at the last meeting that we had is, how is it corroborated? You know, and I will say that this has been 4 years in the making, and that council has had quite a bit of input on it over the years. And one of the comments that one of the council people had made along the way is, do we want to expand what, quote, verified by the department means? So I don't think it's unreasonable, based on the questions that are coming forward from the commission and the questions that were brought forward at the last meeting, to look at how that could be defined a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and I don't have the current copy because he has it. That's why I'm missing the 36 months. If we could clarify it a little bit.
Right. Yeah, because I think that was the concern is it was to do with, say somebody gets a and we don't want that to be, the deciding factor on whether or not they need to,
Right, for some reason, there was a lot of fear that the neighbors were going to turn them in with false complaints. That's what I remember.
Yeah, so, and I could speak to that. Again, I can only answer how this might be applied and the way it's written now. And if the commission seeks clarity in the language, certainly make a referral and we'll do that. But I think the intent was to, since the county, since we are the licensing authority, we issue the unaltered dog license. We keep the records of activities that happen in the county. So if I call on Gary, Commissioner Blackburn, I'm the reporting party, he's the registered owner. If I make up a call that's unfounded or untrue, an officer responds to Commissioner Blackburn's house and clears the call in our system a number of different ways. Usually, no violations means there was no truth to that complaint. A verbal warning or a citation that was issued would mean that there was validity to the complaint and that the animal was deemed to be loose at some point and they were in violation. And under those circumstances, anything that's not no violations or unfounded, if it's a verbal warning was issued as a result of an officer responding, that's a corroborated complaint.
This is where I have the question, because when I worked in the field eons ago, we had it looked like a citation book, but it was a written warning. And when a dog was called in and a dog was loose, but let's say I never saw it, I would leave a written warning at the house that's stating your dog was reported running loose. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of have this issue with the warning part, as counting as corroborating. Do you see where I'm coming from on that one?
Yes. Again, I can only go off of what is written.
Okay,
I'm not enforcing these. I'm just trying to explain how that might be. Because if you read on, it says that the owner, custodian, applicant, or licensee has allowed a dog to be stray or run at large or has otherwise been found to be neglectful of animals in his or her possession. Or Section A, the owner, custodian, applicant, or licensee is not in compliance with all of the requirements of the section. So the reason why I point that out is because an officer is only going to issue a verbal warning if he believes there is a violation. That violation may be you don't have a current license for your pet.
Okay.
So if there are no violations, there are literally no violations noted. If it's a verbal warning, it's because there was a violation noted. Now, again, if the commission feels that it needs further clarification to state what verified by the department means, you can make that referral and we could certainly come back with...
Well, the rest of the commission, do you guys see it clear?
I think it needs to be fine-tuned.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the word neglectful is a little bit subjective also. It's in that same paragraph. I think it needs to be fine-tuned.
Yeah.
With someone that has better English skills than me, maybe.
Okay.
Make it a little more concise.
Gina. you're the latest committee member. Can you get with Nick and try to... Because I'm seeing it one way, and I just would like to have
sure.
It just be clear.
It needs to be clear.
My question is, if they are given a verbal warning, I'm assuming that the verbal warning is written and put in the file. It's not like... hey, you better put your dog up, and then, you know, they walk away. I mean, a verbal warning is documented, and
no.
They gave them it. It's just
no. Well, yes and no. A verbal warning is a verbal warning, like verbally warning somebody you're in violation. But every call that an officer responds to is documented.
Okay. So then a verbal warning would be one of three of complaints that could happen
right
within the 36 months. Is that
yes
correct? Okay.
But when I asked you earlier, I asked you specifically when we were talking, when you were giving your report, about if a dog is returned to its house and nobody's home, they leave a notice. They don't. It's not a verbal warning, there's no one to talk to. So they leave a written warning?
So yeah, and there's probably somewhere around 350 different outcomes for an activity. one of those outcomes could be notice to comply. A notice to comply is we have noted something and we're leaving you a notice to let you know that. It's not a warning, it's a notice.
Okay.
So I think what we're talking about here is the definition of verified and how an officer deems that a violation has occurred. And right now, the way the system is set up, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, and it can be changed based upon the needs to comply with this. But right now, if an officer clears a call as verbal warning, it's because there was a violation on property.
Okay.
Or issued a citation, or, you know, impounded a dog. I mean, and alternately, if there's no violations of note, it's cleared no violations, right? There are a lot of in-betweens where there's a notice that was issued, a business card that was posted, something that's not necessarily a violation, or maybe we have some sense that a violation may have occurred, but not enough evidence to say that one had occurred. Sometimes there's a notice to comply for an owner to contact us so that we can ask questions. But if it's cleared with verbal warning or there's a citation issued, it's because there was a violation.
Okay. Most time, most responses are about the people like responding back to you instead of you responding to them, right?
Say again?
Like when you leave a notice, like do the people usually call you first? Like to resolve the issues and the problems that you're having?
So, if an officer gets a complaint and goes to an address and leaves a notice for contact, the person that received the notice wasn't expecting us. And so most of the time, it's either they call us back or they don't. Depends on the violation. Sometimes.
I'll go back to the residents 30 days later, you know, knock on the door, go a couple times a day, different times a day, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of this gets into the minutiae of field services and how we operate. And I'm trying to answer the questions based on what we do right now. But again, what we do right now and how we clear calls in our system would be what we would use to determine whether or not you would be allowed to purchase an unaltered dog license.
Okay. Sorry to spend so much time on that. I know that there was a concern. I was trying to resolve it in a way that made sense to everyone.
I think it's appropriate to deliberate on it and find the right answer.
Gina's got it. Like how I do that.
Okay. That's exactly the section that I was wrestling with all afternoon was this. I talked to Director Coleman about this, the same section. It just seemed vague to me on the way it was written. And we're gonna tighten it up and make it a little bit more clear because it was vague to me on exactly how it worked. So I guess, what is the procedure? We'll rework it and come back and take a look at it again next month, right? Is that...
I mean, I would defer to counsel on this, but
okay, counsel.
I will venture to guess that we should probably get the subcommittee together to look at the language that's existing there currently and make some changes.
We got together today, actually. Okay. All right.
Because the goal is, I don't know if there's any other big questions from the committee, but the goal is, you know, this has been almost 4 years in the making, and we'd like to get it right and move it on and see how it goes.
I would make another suggestion is that is that the only question that this commission has about this?
No.
Because I would prefer myself. One commissioner has never read it.
I am mind blown by all of this, okay? I'm not even going to lie to you.
She's had it for a whole month now.
Yeah, and I still ain't got through the whole 65 pages of this stuff.
And you've yet to hear public comment on this.
At all. Like, what do you guys feel about any of this?
Okay, well, I think we're going to get there.
But. Oh, I'm like, what do you
guys feel about?
We're not there yet. Because, like, I'm really
starting here.
I think the point I'm making is I think it's probably appropriate to refer it back to the department to reconvene the subcommittee.
Okay.
But I don't think we do that until we get all of the questions that might need to be addressed.
There's more. Go.
Does anyone else have any other section they'd like to talk about?
No, I think we already addressed the one I had.
Okay. That was the one that I spent the most time on today, was that one. So I don't see any of this. So I'd like to ask the public if they have any comments on, have you guys looked at this red line?
It's Greek. You have to read it a bunch of times.
I mean, you've got to read it multiple times really to get it. But if you have any questions, I'm delighted to try to help answer them. Okay.
Where do we find it? I don't have a copy of the. Oh, you have multiple?
These were.
It's a short.
This is a slow read, too.
Many.
It's slow, really slow. You better read it and then reread it.
And read it again.
I read it three times. It's like, I'm not sure what I'm reading. The whole ordinance is like 66 pages.
And 4 years is nothing, trust me.
It was for me.
The first 12 pages are the ones that have the most issues, but okay, I don't see any hands raised, so we'll bring it back to the head table. So the subcommittee should meet sometime between now and March 15th. Four of us, and pick a date that's convenient.
Just to confirm, Commissioner Blackburn, that's the only question that we have about all
this? No, I've already asked that question. They're not giving me any others. I've already asked that question. Janice?
Can I just make one comment?
Sure. You can have two comments.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say in broader terms, irrespective of what the intent may be, you guys want to make sure that it is concise and spelled out. Because at the end of the day, we have a department that is understaffed, and every time they have to address a call or something, if it's not specific on how you guys want it handled, it's taxing the department. And likewise with the public. You don't want something to be vague, and then they're brought into something that isn't necessarily their responsibility or fault. So I would just say, you know, proceed with caution and make sure that everything is spelled out on a dime.
No, it's a perfect observation. It's the same observation that I've got. I know they're understaffed. And
it's all about manpower and money.
And we're under money, too, for that matter. So that's.
I think because our new commissioner has not had an opportunity to really, with this one, the one that Nick just gave us, which is more clean, that if there are questions, that we send them to you before your committee.
Subcommittee, yeah. Yeah, if any of the commissioners have a question or something they want reworked, I want you to just call me. And then when we meet with the subcommittee between now and next month. Next month.
Don't do that.
Don't laugh at me. We'll talk about it. So,
I have something to say.
Yes, sure.
It kind of bounces off what Janice was saying. In what I recall from current ordinances, there is a lot of stuff that is vague, which is problematic to us out here. Mm-hmm. There is also a lot of stuff that is written so that animal control officers have their discretion.
Right.
So keep in mind how specific you want to be, because then discretion might not be available to them depending on this.
We're trying to balance this out. We want to give them more tools to work with, because so far they've been kind of handcuffed in some of the areas, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to give them more power to try to alleviate this problem that we've got ourselves into.
But I totally get yours, yeah.
Okay, I think this is the best way to end it. So, okay.
Do you need to make a motion to make a referral? Make a motion to make a referral.
I make a motion to make a referral.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carried. We got to be very procedural here. Would you quit laughing at me?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. That's as far as we can go. So I'm going to close it out. I need to get a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, second.
I'll say. Okay.
Okay, fine. We'll see you next month, March 15th. Thank you very much.
Yeah.